Was that, what school did you graduate from? Cooley High School in Detroit. Okay. They had to tear it down after he left. That's what he said. It is so great for me to be here with you today. I'm glad that you're here. This morning when I let the dog out, about 5 o'clock, actually I didn't let the dog out. I went out with the dog because she's too little to go by herself. I thought of folks coming up and camping again. I thought, man, again, if you're camping in northern Michigan, that's rough. And we're supposed to have frost tonight and tomorrow. Isn't that exciting? Michelle said that's why some people don't take their Christmas lights down. They just leave them up. Because it's, you know. This morning I have an interesting passage that I want to share with you as what we believe in our church is going through books of the Bible a verse at a time, or a paragraph at a time, a chapter at a time. We try to cover every verse in a book. As a pastor, as a preacher, there are some things that you are more comfortable preaching about than others, but when as a church you decide we're going to go through the whole Bible, just say what it says, sometimes you come to verses like we come to today. So with that in mind, Galatians chapter 6. We started some time ago in Galatians 1:1, and we've just been going along, and Galatians 6 is talking about life in the church. It's talking about your life in the Spirit. In other words, in salvation, God gives you His Holy Spirit. The question is, will you walk in step with His Spirit? Will you allow your life to be guided by the One who has saved you? Or will you just try to do it your own way and not really pay much attention to what God would have? And Paul says, you don't need legalism telling you what to do. You can't live your life saying, I'll just do whatever I want and go to heaven anyway because I believe in Jesus. Paul says you need to walk in step with the Spirit. Just like I think of walking behind my dad in the snow. And he would say his big boot prints were there in front of me, and I would try to step in those boot prints. And Paul says, walk step by step following the Spirit that way. Part of that is, we looked at last week, is if someone in your life, someone in the church, is stumbling into if they're making a step away from the Spirit or out of the Spirit, restore that person. Help them to see their mistake and walk in the Lord. Bear one another's burdens. Don't think too much of yourself. Don't become conceited. Say, you know, I see my Christian brother, my Christian sister, they're messing up in this area. I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad I don't mess up like that. Paul says, no. Don't think you're something just because you're not making the same mistakes someone else is making. And then we come to this next section, which is about sowing and reaping. It's about planting and harvesting. So let's read it together. Verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word to us. Thank you that we can gather together. We can study the scriptures that you have inspired, you have given to us. They are truth. They tell us the truth that you want us to know. Most of all, the truth about our Savior, who would lay down his life, who would be crucified for our sin, and who would die and yet rise again from the grave, and just to take away our sins, to bring us into a right relationship with you. I pray, as has already been prayed, that If someone is listening today and they have not trusted in Christ as their Savior, I pray they would see their sin, their need for forgiveness, and they would turn to Christ and trust Him to save them and forgive them. And Lord, for us who have done that, who have come to Christ by faith, help us to walk in Your Spirit, to stay in step with the way You are leading, that we might bring You glory and we might encourage those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the key words in this little section that we looked at is the word good. It comes up two or three times, and you'll see it as it's here in verse 6, sharing all good things. Verse 9, do not grow weary of doing good. Verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good. I see the word good mentioned three times here in our English translation. That's connected to the fruit of the Spirit. In chapter 5, we see in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits the Spirit produces in you is goodness. It's just being good. And here in this context, it has to do with sharing good things, doing good things that helps other people. James tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow due to change. Good gift. Every good thing comes from God. And so when God blesses you, if there are good things in your life, like graduation, finishing something you started, there's good things in your life that comes from God, because God is good and He gives good things. And your life will be changed by the Holy Spirit, who wants you to be a good person, wants you to live giving what's good and doing what is good. And what Paul will bring out from the Old Testament and the just our understanding of nature, the things you plant are the things you will harvest. Okay? I'm not really a gardener, not a farmer. I've got an old friend that's a farmer in western Pennsylvania. He understands about planting. I asked him one time, all this rain we're getting, is that that's good for the crops? He says, well, you don't want too much rain. He told me, he's farmed all his life, maybe 40 years or more. He said, I've lost more crops to wet weather than drought, than dry weather. You know, if it's raining too much, you can't get out in the field and do anything about it. Your tractor gets stuck, you know. But if you plant, say, a kernel of corn, you're not going to get an apple tree, right? Or if you plant an apple seed, you're not going to get a lilac bush. That just doesn't work that way, does it? What you plant is what grows. That's how God designed things. There's really no surprises. What you plant is what grows. And spiritually speaking, that is also true. What you plant, that's what you will harvest. Okay, so here's this first verse, chapter 6, verse 6. And here's my first point. Are you ready? After this, it's not so awkward for me. It says, provide for your teachers. So I don't talk a lot about giving. I don't talk a lot about, you know, we got to pass the offering plates again. We passed them once, let's pass them again. You won't hear me say that. I won't have you come up front and put your money on the stage. We won't do that. I just don't preach a lot about money. What I try to preach about is whatever is in the verse in front of me, whatever's next. And so this happens to be here. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. What is verse 6? Let the one who is taught the word. What is the word? We're talking, okay, you hold up your Bible, you're talking about the Bible. I think specifically it's the message of the gospel. It is the word that when Paul talks about it, he is usually referring to the message of Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth, who lived a perfect life, and died for our sins. He was raised again. That is the gospel. If you will turn to Him in faith, He will save you. You will live forever in His kingdom. He'll change your life. He'll adopt you as His own child. That's the gospel message. And so if you're taught that, Paul says in verse 6, then you should share all good things. Share that we have you heard of this word, koinonia? Have you heard that word, koinonia? It's obviously a Greek word, but it has to do with community, commonness. And we have community together as a church. If you're visiting with us and you live somewhere else, either downstate or even in another state, if you go to a church, and I trust that you do, and you belong to a church, you have commonness. You have community together. You share worship together. I'm sure you share meals together. You share in your burdens and prayer together. That's that commonness. And here Paul directs that to giving, sharing good things with the one who teaches. That includes, when we look at good things, that includes financially sharing. But this says all good things. It's freely sharing the things God prospers you with so that teachers can teach the word. You provide, you share, so that teachers can do the teaching. And let me just say, this is where it gets not awkward for me. I really feel the awkward part is over. Because Indian River Baptist Church is amazing at how they provide for their pastor. It's just amazing. You're a very giving church, a caring church. And you have provided for us, and we feel very blessed. I do not stand up here and say, you know, you really need to grow in this sharing more with the teacher. Would that be a little awkward? I look at this and I say, this church is so good already at giving and making sure that our needs are met as a family, and we're blessed to be able to be here. I spend, I won't say the majority of my week, but a lot of time in my week studying and preparing to be able to teach. Sunday morning, a couple times, Wednesday night. You know, we're going to do, I need to tell you. This summer, we're going to have evening services on Sunday, but it's going to be more of a Bible study, almost like an institute kind of a class, and we're going to go through the book of Romans, and we're going to tackle Romans. I'm thinking maybe setting up tables and chairs in the foyer back there, and you'll have notes, you'll have handouts, and we'll go through the book of Romans in the evening. Probably in the fall and the winter, we'll go back to our home Bible fellowships and home Bible studies, and we'll do a new study together. But for this summer, I want to teach and hopefully help us understand Romans and work through that together. I can do that because the church provides for my needs, my family needs. You're great at that. Why do you do that? Because it's in the Bible. If you're taught, then share what you have with the one that's teaching. Let me just, if I could encourage you in one extra area about this, it would be the other teachers. If you have children or grandchildren who they go to Sunday school, they go to children's church, I think it would be nice to remember those teachers, and maybe even from your children and grandchildren, to be able to bring a little gift now and then of just encouragement to that children's church teacher, that Sunday school teacher. They're teaching our kids the word. They're doing this. The one who has taught the word must share with the one who teaches. And maybe it's a chance for you to teach your kids, hey, you want to show appreciation and thankfulness to your teacher back in Sunday school. So I would encourage you in that, to think about that and see what God would have you to do in that, in light of that. So provide for your teachers. And I say, great job at what you're doing. Second, plant with eternity in mind. Plant with eternity in mind, as we look at verse 7. And here's this statement. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Paul is saying, don't kid yourself, or make no mistake. And then he's going to describe what he means. He's going to get to the point of saying, you cannot live selfishly and expect God to bless you anyway. This is what he's going to get after in the next verse. So here's this statement. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. This is a timeless truth. If you think about the Bible times, they lived in an agricultural society. I mean, you for the most part, either you raised food or you did some other occupation that you could trade for food, but it was agriculturally based. How many of you have a garden? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Okay? If I would have asked that question 50 years ago, there would have been more hands. If I would have asked that question 100 years ago, Phil, what would they have said? That was not in my notes, by the way. That was... Yeah, we'd ask Bill. 100 years ago, probably everyone would have had a garden that you would have been growing. So when Paul says this, what you sow, you will reap, everyone understood what he was talking about very vividly, very clearly. Sowing is your actions. Okay, let's get very practical with this. Sowing is your actions. Reaping is the consequences of those actions. What you sow, you can expect to reap. And it's like Paul is depicting, you have this opportunity to plant and garden in two different fields. He describes two different fields. And you can cast the seeds of your actions into one or the other. The one field is your flesh. It's selfishness. It's doing whatever I want, whatever I feel is best for me. And the other is the spirit, the life of the Spirit. It's God's field. And Paul says, you're going to reap the harvest that will correspond to the field you've been working in. Either one of the flesh or one of the Spirit. And he says in verse 8, for the one who sows, and that's the idea of casting seed out there. If you sow to your own flesh, do you see that word, your own flesh? It's selfishness. It's that part of you that wants to do wrong. And even though you're a Christian, and even though God has delivered you from the power of sin, it's still that flesh in you that wants to do wrong. It wants to be lazy. Wants to be angry. Wants to be proud. That flesh inside of you. And he says, if you sow to your own flesh, what you are going to harvest in return is corruption, death, decay. That's all your sinful flesh can produce. If you only live for yourself, then all you will get is death. There'll be no good thing. You won't have any good thing to share with anyone. You're just going to be in a place of just wilting and decaying, and there won't be anything. You're basically just going to waste your life trying to make the best life for yourself. But, he says in verse 8, the one who sows to the Spirit, and that's, Paul is not saying anything different here than he has said in chapter 5, where he said, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. Here it is planting in the Spirit. It's the same idea. It's your life being lived the way God wants it to be. It's directed by Him. What you're doing in your life, choosing to live your life, put your efforts, share your resources. It's doing what God would have you to do, letting Him do all that He would have you to do. And the flesh says, no, No. We are not going to take what we have and give it away. We're going to keep what we have. It's our precious. Yeah. It's like the Lord of the Rings, that creepy guy. Who part of him wants to help in the quest, and part of him just wants the ring for himself. And he goes back and forth. That's like us. You know, we see God blessing someone in their life, and we think, I want to give. And then all of a sudden, there's that part of you that goes, no, let's keep it. Don't give it away. No, we're gonna just take care of ourselves here. It's me, what I need. And we become shriveled and weak. And he says we will reap death and corruption. Sowing to the Spirit is gladly flinging all we have over to God. Sowing to the Spirit. Just saying, God, you have been so good to me. You've given me good gifts, and I just want to use them for your glory. I'm going to spread these out. And let me tell you when it gets hard sometimes. Here's when God blesses you and you serve and you don't see any growth. You don't see a harvest coming up. Have you ever been there? Have you ever tried to help someone and you've gone out of your way to help them and encourage them and you don't see any difference in their life? You know, in fact, maybe they kind of get a little worse. And you go, why am I doing this? And God says, you just keep sowing the seed. You just keep gladly flinging the good things that God gives out and let God bless. Let him give the harvest. Let him cause the crops to grow, if you will, in his time. I think we'd go over here and sow to the flesh because we think it'll happen a little quicker. I'll get what I want right now. Just keep my precious things to myself. And God says, just sow it to the Spirit. Fling it out that God may use it. And if you do, if you're that kind of a person, he says here at the end of verse 8, you will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Paul is not saying this is how you get saved, that you have to go and do things and give good things away. But he's saying if you're that kind of person, that's evidence that you do have eternal life. You are, when you're saved, you will want to do what is good. And when you are living a way of giving away your things that God has blessed you with, that's evidence that you are in the right field, that you're in the field that he has given, and you're going to reap eternal life, living for God, being born again, being led by him, loving him, serving him. If that's your life, you can be sure you have eternal life. But Paul has contrasted already. If your life is the flesh and doing works of the flesh, and he tells us what some of them are, then you're not going to heaven. If your life is in this field of selfishness and that's your life, then you're not going to heaven, even if you go to church. But if your life is given to Christ, you know you have eternal life. And you know that will be changing and it's going to be getting, you're going to be getting better. You're going to be walking in the Spirit more and more as you grow in his grace. So which field are you living in and working in? Now let's be honest, even as a Christian, sometimes we stumble over into the wrong field, right? Even as a Christian, the flesh sometimes can get us at a weak moment and pull us over into the field of our own flesh. But a Christian doesn't stay there. They realize that God will bring some chastisement, some correction, and train and say, whoa, what am I doing over here? I want to be in the field of the Spirit. I want to be living here and casting and working in God's grace, Spirit. It is by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But as James said, faith without works is dead. Don't say, well, I'm a Christian, and you don't live for God. Live in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. If you've been struggling, turn from sin and follow Christ and follow the Spirit where He will lead you. Life, a Christian life, it's a living faith. It's a working faith. It's following God. It's sowing to the Spirit. I mean, we talk about farming and sowing. It's work. Not to get saved, but because you are saved and you want to serve Him. I'm thankful for the Pierpont guys coming up here to sing. You know, they're welders. They get up like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. But they come up here and they'll sing and lead us in worship. Even sing some tenor notes. Yeah, that's being a man. That's being a Christian man. That's saying, you know, I'll sing. I'm not too cool to sing. I just want to live in the Spirit. I don't know what. Now maybe God hasn't given you the voice to sing. You don't have to. Wade, I see that hand back there. We keep Wade as far away from the microphones as we can. But he serves in other ways. And as God gives you gifts in your abilities, sow them. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about the abilities God has given you to live for Him and to serve Him. Don't hold those things to yourself. Find ways to spread them and do it and work for God, for His glory. You know, it's really God working in us anyway. It is Him that works in us both to want and to do His good pleasure. So when God leads you to do some kind of a ministry for Him, He will give you the strength and the power to do it. And Paul says this, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good." Don't give up. Don't tire out. There is an eternal harvest that God is going to bring. You be faithful. You just keep doing what He's given you to do, even if you're not seeing results as soon as you want to see them. Let us not grow weary or tired in doing good. Doing good, in this context, it's like restoring a fallen brother, helping bear someone's burden, taking care of others' needs. Doing good is sowing to the Spirit, working in God's field, casting all you have into God's care. In fact, if you would back up into chapter 5 just for a moment and look at verse 6, he reminds it's not external works that we do, trying to be religious, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, that's the Old Testament way of things, that doesn't count for anything, but only faith working through love. Look at those, or think of those three words. Faith working through love. You have faith, you're trusting in Christ, and you are serving because you love Him and you love His people. Faith, work, love. That's the Christian life. That's what a church is. If we just came in here and worked and did things around here and did things for the community, but we didn't love each other and we didn't trust in Jesus, what would we have? We would just have a community organization. There's lots of those. But here we are to have faith working through love. And God will show you what to do. You ask Him. He'll show you what to do. You say, well, I can't sing. I can't rake leaves and yards. Can't do physical work. What will God show you that you can do? It might just be taking someone to lunch. It might be writing letters of encouragement. Spending time in prayer for those that you know are struggling. Well, I did that. You know, I did that and I don't see any change. This is why Paul says, in due season, here at the end of verse 9, in due season, when God decides it's time, we will reap if we do not give up. His promises are certain. He will bless and reward you as you work in His field. But it's His timing and not ours. Finally, number 3, plant with eternity in mind. Number 3 is this: prioritize your church family, or set your church family as a priority. This is verse 10. He's going to summarize a lot in this statement. Maybe going up to the middle of chapter 5 and all the way to this point, he summarizes it. So then, you see that in the verse 10? So then, or therefore. In other words, here's the main point. Let me summarize it for you. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those in the church, the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let me tell you this. God will give you opportunity. Don't be frustrated. Sometimes you may serve the Lord and you work hard doing something for Him. And you come home and you sit down and you feel like, I should have done more. Well, I got to be doing more. I should be doing more and more and more. Sometimes God doesn't give you opportunity to do something. You want to wait. You want to pray. You want to ask Him to give you opportunity to do good. Divine opportunities. And when He gives them to you, you jump on them. You throw yourself into it. You say, I've prayed for this, I waited for this, and now, Lord, You've opened the door, I'm going through it. As we have opportunity, let us do. That's just two letters, but the background of that little word is work. The form of that word is work. Let us do, or let us work at doing good. Sometimes helping someone else will be work. It might take some work on your part. And he says, let us do good to everyone. That's every kind of person, foreigner, Baptist, Muslim, Republican, Democrat, rich, poor. He says, everyone. Do good to everyone. But, he says, family should come first. You should not neglect a brother, a sister in the church that has a need because you're too busy. You've spent everything helping someone outside the church. This is what he's saying. Especially take notice of those in God's family that you can bless. That God will bless you to be a blessing to someone else. He says, We've got to stay together as a church. This is why we meet together. We worship together. We share our needs and we pray. And then we go out. And it's tough. And people are not always kind that you work with, go to school with, that you live near. People in your family are not always kind. And it hurts. And you come back here and you're encouraged and built up and strengthened. You learn the word and you learn to love one another. And I think that's why Paul says, especially those of the household of faith, your fellow believers, those who are trusting in Christ, when they have a need, drop what you're doing and help them. Especially those of the household of faith. All this is possible and enjoyable. As we are led by, walk in, and work in God's Holy Spirit. It's His power in you. It's His grace that allows you to serve and to help, to give and to minister to those who are in need. He'll lead you to do it. Our job or our challenge is to be yielded to Him, to say, Lord, whatever You would have me to do, I will do it. Whatever You want, I'll do it. That's what our responsibility is. Sowing and reaping. What we plant is what we will harvest. And I want to be better at it, at planting in this field of the Spirit. Less over here in the flesh, more in the Spirit. What would You have us to do as a church? How would You have us to use our resources? How would You have us to invite others and be a blessing and get the gospel to the world? Planting and harvesting. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, you have given us all good things. Lord, if we thought of ourselves as farmers and we had a bag full of seed, that seed would be from you. And the strength to go out and spread it would be from you. And the rain that comes to water it would be from you. And the actual growth would be from you. It's all from you. Lord, we want to be used in your kingdom. We want to just be messengers and workers in your fields. Jesus said that the harvest was plentiful, the workers are few. Lord, raise up more workers here at Indian River Baptist Church, that we might just get what we have and not hold on to it tightly, not try to keep the good things you give us to ourselves, but to just spread them out and watch you grow a wonderful harvest of souls being saved, lives being changed, those who are hurting to be encouraged and strengthened. Father, let us be careful to yield to your Spirit. Let us work hard and plant as you give us opportunity. Let us take care of one another, see needs, and have hearts that will meet needs. Lord, I do, as I close, I pray for Bill. And I just pray that your strength and your grace and blessings for him and for Connie. Just we pray for your wonderful grace. Just continue to fill their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.